Welcome to our traditional Halloween game. This was recorded on October the 29th, and I am joined by Chris, Jameis, and Sharon. As we enter once again into the Ghost Be Gone universe, this time using a stripped-down Cortex system for the game engine, we create characters and get a full game in just a bit over 2 hours. Part of the character creation segment was truncated due to really poor audio. Sadly, most of this audio is poor, as we are relying on our backup recording method. Skype was not playing well with us for this night. But for your entertainment, here it is, the next installment of our Ghost Be Gone franchise. Enjoy!
And just let me know when everybody has gotten your tribute set and your two specialties set.
I think I got mine.
And then okay. Get your... Okay, so I'm going to take the standard D8 on everything, except I'm going to take research and parkour as my specialties.
Yep, so research would come under brains, parkour under moves. Sounds good. Okay. Chris, what did you get?
Brains, D10, auto mechanic.
Okay.
D6 muscles. Okay. D10 moves would be fine, manual dexterity, and D6 cool.
Okay. And Jameis?
I've got brains D6, muscles D8, moves D10 with mock foo, and cool cool D8 with indifferent.
So, are you saying I'm the smart one in the party?
you might be. You might
well,
be.
You're Chris both at D10.
So, yeah. Jameis, state an attribute about Sharon's character. Anything you want. It could be a characteristic of what she looks like, how she acts, or you can even say that she's particularly good at or bad at something.
Standoffish.
Standoffish. Okay. We'll put that under cool. So under cool, Sharon, put standoffish.
All right, writing it down.
And then Sharon, state something about Chris's character.
Cocky.
All right. Also under cool, right? Cocky.
Got it.
And then Chris, state something about Jameis's character.
Flashy.
Okay. Also under cool. All right. Now, all of you are employees of Ghost Be Gone, so you all have... sorry, go ahead.
I'm not with my character. I'm an employee of the Cho-Cho. I just happen to come by the office reading it every now and then so I can get dragged in on cases.
Oh, okay, so you're actually going to be a line cook for the Black Dragon restaurant below your building.
No, I'm a janitor. I'm the janitor for the building.
You're the janitor. Okay,
this is the character I played previously. So,
yeah. And then in your case, you're going to get the job of janitor at D8. Just write that down somewhere, okay. That you are a janitor at D8. Everybody else, you are Ghost Be Gone employees at D8.
That's why I've got mop food.
Yep. And then, Chris, what was your former job before becoming a Ghost Be Gone employee?
NASCAR mechanic.
Nice. Mm. Put down NASCAR mechanic at D6. And Sharon, what did you previously do as a career before joining Ghost Be Gone?
Going with the character, I'm going to say office manager.
Okay, put down office manager at D6.
Someone turn off their background beat, please.
It might actually be me.
Actually, I think it was me.
Ah. Okay, good enough. All right, guys. So if you remember the background for Ghost Be Gone, Ghost Be Gone is the preeminent franchise of ghost and spooky things, eradication, containment, and reassessment services. You guys are the... You're not the most junior recruits. This particular branch is doing pretty well recently. Everyone else, however, is on vacation right now, and you are the ones having to man the office. If you'll remember, your offices are on the second floor of a building that you share with the Black Dragon Asian restaurant that is below you, manned with a strange group of... rather pointy-teethed or pointy-toothed expatriates from some South American, possibly Asian country. You're not really sure. As you're down a man, the janitor for the Black Dragon restaurant is up here, and he sometimes fills in when you're down recruits. Who's manning the phones today? No one's manning the phones today. Phone rings. You notice on the phone...
Where's the office clerk?
No. Everyone's on vacation. You guys are it. You're the only ones left here. It's getting on towards the Christmas season, you see. So there is snow on the ground. I forget what city we based the main...
Washington. I think it was Seattle or something.
Oh, no, it was. Yeah, that's right. It was Seattle. So, yeah, you're in Seattle, Washington. You notice on the phone, you guys have this particular franchise has been doing well lately, and so you guys actually have gold card members, and you notice on the phone call that's coming in, it is a red light blinking, meaning that this is a priority customer, someone who has paid extra to get the best service possible from Ghost.
Pick up the ghost. Okay. Yeah, I'll pick up the phone. Hello?
So, is this Ghost Be Gone?
Yes, it is.
I'm a Gold Club carrying member here, and we've got a problem. You guys are discreet, right?
Yes, we're very discreet.
Alright, I need you to come out to 222 Jones Street as soon as you can. It's going on 7 o'clock in the evening. And I want you guys to come around the rear, okay? We don't want you bothering any of your guests.
Okay, what is your actual ghost problem right now?
I would rather you as a professional to suss that out, if you will. It's a bit strange. Don't particularly want to go into it over the phone right now. In the background, sounds like there's like some kind of party going on. Like you can hear like really odd lounge music in the background. There's lots of voices clinking of like glassware in the background.
Okay, do you want us to come out now? Or do you want us to come out in the morning?
As soon as possible.
All right, we'll be right there. Can I get your name, please, sir?
Already hung up.
All right. Okay. Guys, we have a call out at 222 Jones Street.
What they say was wrong. What they want.
They just want us out there. Sounds like they're having one heck of a party in the background, though.
Let's pack up and go.
Yeah, let's go.
All right. So there is gearing up as well. You yes. guys have, of course, the traditional Ghost Be Gone augmented Hearst that's in the garage right now. But is there anything else you want to carry along? You assume that you always have your company phones that have like PKE meters and, you know, all the fancy gadgetry on it, recorders, EMF readers, all that fun stuff is built into your cell phones now. The car itself always has a good supply of ghost traps, and you now have pistol-sized blasters. But if there's anything else that you think you need to bring...
Oh, I'm sure there is.
I'll miss you.
Go one at a time. Okay, we'll go with Jameis. What's your character's name, by the way?
Gruffy.
Gruffy. Okay. What item or equipment do you think you might need?
Let's see. I've got my mop. That's what counts. Some kind of ghost goo cleaner.
Ah, some industrial cleaner. All right. Sounds good. You're going to have industrial cleaner at D6.
Hey, do I get an old job or not?
Yeah, if you want to have a previous job. Your current job is janitor at D8, pick up previous job at D6.
Okay, I was a salvage diver.
Okay. All right, Chris, what's your character's name?
John Jones Scott Robert.
All right, anything you think in particular you might need to bring along?
A souped up leaf blower that can also be turned into a vacuum.
Leaf blower / sucker, all right?
Yes.
D6. And Sharon, what is the name of your character?
Karen Nichols, and let's see, I'm a big fan of the Lost Boys, so I'm going to have a super soaker full of holy water.
Okay. All right, also a D6 asset. Now, you guys have a Catholic priest on the payroll that you get to occasionally come by and bless all the super soaker water tanks. All right, who's driving?
Graffy's on break.
I'm not driving.
I clink the keys and go, NASCAR.
All right, John Jones Scott Roberts is behind behind the wheel. Your GPS tells you your location is out of town, going into the suburbs. You've got about a 45-minute drive. Definitely going out of the main part of town.
Nah, do it in about a half hour.
Yep, probably so. Actually, are you going to drive like a maniac?
Yeah.
Are you trying to get there faster?
Well, you know, being the NASCAR mechanic, you know, everything is fast, so, yeah.
All right, so that is going to be a moves roll. You're gonna make a pool. So on your character sheet, unfortunately the clear button doesn't work. But if you look down, not across the top, but down the side, you got two columns starting at like a D4, D8, D12, and on the other side are D6, D10, D20, percentage, right?
Yes.
So you're gonna start filling this in. Your pool is gonna be comprised of first the attribute, which is gonna be moves in this case, D10. If you have a particular skill under moves that would be helpful. Manual dexterity isn't really going to help for this, I don't think. Not fine manual dexterity, but being a NASCAR mechanic will, so you're going to add a D6, so your pool is a D10 and a D6 so far.
Okay.
And I don't think anything else will help you drive like a maniac. Unless you've got something else written down you think might.
Is there anything about the car itself that you can take?
The car itself, yes. We'll give you a D6 because the car has been upgraded over all these times, so it's got a really good engine on it. It's got good tires on it, so you can have another D6. So your pool is a 10 and two D6s. So on your die pool roller there, you're going to want to, first of all, zero out everything except for what you're going to be rolling.
And then what about cocky?
Do you think it helps or do you think it hurts? It's a choice.
I'm cocky that I know I can do it. If I actually can or not, I mean, I don't know.
Okay, so here's the difference. If you think you have something that might hurt you, instead of putting a D6 or whatever the D is in the pool, you put a D4 in instead. But I give you a plot point. If you think it helps you, you put a D6 into the pool.
I think being the mechanic, it would hurt. Because he's a mechanic, not a driver.
Okay, fair enough. So add a D4 into the pool.
But if you roll a 1, which is more likely under a d4, that's not good.
The 1 gives me plot pressure, is what this is going to come down to. But it's an interesting way to get things started.
Yeah.
Yes.
All right. So you got a d10, 2d6, d4.
And d6. Okay.
Alright, and then when you got all that in, hit the roll button, which is to the left of clear. It looks like a d20.
Okay, here we go.
15. Okay, and so, your adversity pool starts at a 2d, starts at 2d6 on my side, and this will increase as you guys make poor rolls. That's actually a pretty good roll. So, yes, traffic is actually pretty light. I roll a mere 8, you roll a 15. So yes, you cut down your drive time by a good 15 minutes and you get there 30 minutes. So the address that your GPS has pulled up looks like it's an old mansion. You can still see where there was like a for sale sign near the driveway that's been, you know, it's been X'd out and says sold now. There are a number of cars in this kind of roundabout driveway. Much of them are really fancy looking. Like, you've got a few Corvettes in there. There's a stretch limo in there. Really high end. Now, you do see that there is a kind of a service or a servant entrance driveway that runs alongside that doesn't go directly up to the roundabout, but it does go to the rear of the house. Looks like there was some kind of party going on full swing.
Well, we're going to the back, so peeling out and going, you know. Keep it going to the back. When I see the door, slam on the brakes and stop.
Okay. There are a few cars out back here. None of them as flashy as the ones up front. Just very common. Like there's a four-door sedan here. There's a couple of Yugos. There's a Prius. There's a few people standing out here that look like they're servants, maybe kitchen staff, as they're wearing white aprons. They've got these white hats on. They're all taking smoke breaks. A couple of they look like maids, like, embarrassingly so. They're wearing like the French maid outfits, like really skimpy. Both the bottoms and tops, and both sexes are wearing the same sort of thing. They're all kind of lounging around the back entrance.
Something you never see in the South. Them Frenchy maids.
Okay, I get out of the car, show them my broom, put on my sunglasses, and Graffy is here.
John, don't look. It's not becoming.
Yeah, but it's something you never see back south, so you gotta take a look. Whoa. Them guys in there, too.
Yeah, in French maid outfits. You saw that way?
Why? Why? They shouldn't be like that. It should be in the penguin suits.
They should be.
As you're conversing, some of the people that look like they're cooks kind of look at you up and down. Actually, Graffy, you've got your mop in hand, don't you?
Mm-hmm.
And you're probably not wearing the official Ghost Be Gone unitard. But the other two are. Right, so one of the cooks points at you and says, "Hey, the new staff? We got a mess in room 5.
Is that where the ghosts are?
Ghosts? As they're looking a little confused, an elderly short woman, when I say short, she barely reaches the 5-foot mark. She comes out, she's got one of these green visors on, like the old style, like banker's hats. She's got a stogie clenched between her lips that are bright red painted. And she's wearing this revealing evening gown, which you really wish didn't reveal so much.
Ooh.
Okay. That gravelly voice that you heard over the phone, just like, "Hey, you guys finally got here."
Yeah. All right. Yeah, you called us?
Yeah, that's right. We got a problem. We need to be discreet, though. And she looks around at all the staff that's back here. I said we need to be discreet.
Okay, so let's
putting out their cigarettes and they start marching back inside. That's better.
Okay, maybe could go to a more private location.
She looks at Grappy, says, you can pass how you are, but would you two mind losing the, she kind of points at the unitards that's got the Ghost Be Gone logo all over it.
I'll just, like, strip down to the civvies.
Alright.
Yeah, I guess I'll strip down and pull out my jacket that's in the car with all the NASCAR patches on it.
Alright, she looks you both over and is like, you'll do. Had worse looking guests. Alright, come on through. So the back entrance like goes directly through the kitchen. And as you're walking through, you're seeing some really weird things. Like, they have traditional foods. It looks like there's a big thing for seafood. Lots of like clams and oysters on the half shell, that sort of thing. But then you're walking by the bakery section and there are a bunch of like little, silver trays going out that look like they're filled with like, cakes in the shape of like quinoa and breasts. These are being carried out by both the male and female wait staff that are wearing the French made outfits.
I'm just shaking my head. Things up north. Things up north.
All right. Hold on a minute, honey. She says to John Jones, and she pulls out a clip-on bow tie, and she kind of puts it on you. Makes it look nice and sharp. She looks over at Karen Nichols. Karen, how are you dressed?
Pretty much, let's see, black jeans, white shirt, vest, pretty much middle professional kind of stuff.
And she eyes you over for a moment and says, yeah, you'll pass just fine. And to Graffy with his mop there, she says, yeah, you're one of the staff. Don't suppose you'll put on some leggings, would you? Yeah, it's all right.
Oh, Graffy, I would have appreciated the chance to show up his fine legs. And yes, as good as a quintet, but he does have that pink mohawk.
Okay. Yep.
Because he's flashy.
Yeah, there you go. She leads you through into the main dining area where there are really large party going on. And you're just a little quizzical at first. It looks like a lot of the guests are wearing an inordinate amount of leather with braided whips, and some of them aren't wearing anything at all. And there are an inordinate amount of very good-looking both men and women in these scanty maid outfits going around serving and doing other things with the guests. She directs you to a large central stairway. She says, problems up here. Smiles. Put on smiles. Not let anyone know that there's anything untoward going on.
Plaster on the biggest fake smile that I can muster.
Exactly. Big eyes and big smile.
Any shape of Graffy's mouth is obscured by his large mustache.
Nice. Also pink. To match his mohawk. Yeah. All right, she takes you up to second story is the large stairway comes up and it kind of splits into two hallways, and the hallways are just lined with rooms, and you can hear disconcerting sounds coming out of the different rooms here and there along the way. As she's having you come down to the left side corridor, you see off to the right one of the rooms open, and there's a guy that's just wearing like suspenders, socks, and a bowler hat that's leading a donkey out of the room.
Okay, that's disturbing.
And she brings you to a room that's got one of the male French maids is standing in front of it, is kind of been keeping people away from the door. And she says, Alejandro, we'll take over from here. And she looks down to a set of key rings, pulls out a key fob, and says, your party is waiting in room 8. You'll be relieved from the night afterwards. The guy bows, and she goes over to the door, unlocks it, and you step in. The central point of this room is obviously the bed, which is in the middle of the room. The ceilings have mirrors on them. There's a disco ball dropped from the center. The walls all have mirrors on them. There is like one wall that is like, it looks like it's partially ajar. It is actually a bathroom through there, but when it's closed, you really couldn't tell. It's like smooth glass on it as well. And she says, look, we had a very important guest using this room about 2 hours ago. My staff said they heard screams. And when they went in to look, he was gone. As you can see, there's no windows out of this room and only that one door. You know, like I said, I'm a gold-rated member of your Ghost Be Gone franchise, and well, this is the sort of thing that I don't really want to go to the police for, given who the member was that was using this room. But I figure you guys deal with this sort of thing, right? So if you could just find the guy, so what happened here, I'd be grateful. If you need to ask any of the staff, feel free. Just try not to burden any of my guests, right? And she reaches up and she adjusts the bow tie on John Jones again. She pats her cheek. If you're ever looking for another career, Sonny, you come and see me.
Yes, ma'am. We will be discreet.
We will be.
Gravity is on the case. You put down the broom, leans against, against one of the mirrors, and looks at the other two.
Alright, I'm going to pull out my cell phone and start hitting buttons. Bitch and complain that it's all modern technology and scan the room for whatever.
Sure. Give me a brains roll, and you can definitely add in the D8 for being a Ghost Be Gone employee, as you have been trained with the technology. So you definitely get those two. Anything else you think might help?
No.
All right. So D10 for brains and a D8 for a Ghost Be Gone employee. Make sure you clear out all your other dice before you hit the roll again.
Yep. Here we go. No.
Oh, you missed a die.
Yeah, the D10 didn't show up.
Yep, so just roll a single D10. You keep your 8 there. That's good.
Okay. Let's try that.
Nice. 17? Definitely. So you turn on the PKE meter on your phone, and there is some definite residue going on. You're walking around the room, and it seems to be focused in nowhere particular. Just the whole room seems to light up the PKE meter. So there was definitely some interplanar activity going on here. What are the rest of you guys doing?
I'm leaning against the mirror.
Basically right now, just watching John do his stuff.
Yeah, well, you can all see that his cell phone is lighting up, showing that there is some spiritual activity in this room, or there was. It's fairly low level now.
I'll walk into the bathroom. Try that out.
Bathroom is same reading. So again, a little bit of spiritual activity that's gone on in this room, but it's not any higher or lower than the main room. And again, you can see, as she was saying, there's not, you know, you're not seeing any other way out. There's no window in the bathroom either.
Oh, let's start breaking some of these mirrors. Mirrors are the gateway to whatever, so.
Yeah, so there's absolutely no windows in the bathroom?
No. Although the bathroom is not set up with all these garish mirrors like the room is. It's just piled in there. There's a sink, there's a commode, and there is a large, luxurious bathtub. You do notice that somebody's pants and clothing are in here. There's a really nice set of wingtop shoes. There's a Savile Row suit. The guy's wallet's still in here. There's a wristwatch. It looks like that's a Rolex.
Oh, you know what? I'm going to go through the wallet.
Look at the wallet.
Okay. and you both make a grab for the wallet at the same time.
I'll let Karen get the wallet, and I'll disappear the Rolex that was never there.
The wallet is thick with $100 bills, and you look at the driver's license, and give me a brains roll.
Me? You want me to give you a brains roll?
Yeah, you give me a brains roll. You can add anything that you think might help with, like, pop culture knowledge, if you've got anything that makes sense for that. What were you before? I forget.
Office manager.
So yeah, actually, add a D6 into the pool because as an office manager, you might have come across this person before.
Okay, so that would be 1D8 and 1D6. Okay. Where is there a?
So if you click on your character sheet, where the actual tab that says character sheet, there's a bunch of die pool roller. See that?
Yeah. Oh, okay. Right. What do
so
I? Just, oh,
is, it's so the you're gonna have at the a, bottom. So you add a D6, and what's your brains?
D8.
A D8. Okay. So then you're going to click put 1D8 in there as well.
Did that roll?
It rolled a D6.
Okay.
There it goes. All right, we'll take that last one. So a 7, okay, versus 7. Ties will go to you. That is the mayor's son. That's the mayor's eldest son.
Oh, that's not good.
So do you say who it is?
Yeah, I'm gonna blab that out to everyone.
All right, the Rolex will appear again.
Okay, a quick question. Looking around the mirrored room, now, while I'm not, but are any of the other graffies waving?
Oh, I see what you're saying. No.
Okay.
It's what you would expect.
All right. Just checking.
All right, so what are you up to? Go ahead.
I'm going to turn to Graffy and go, is there a mirror that's a little bit dirtier than the others? I'm assuming you're the janitor. You would know what would be dirtier than the next.
He makes a good point. Why don't you give me a roll there, Graffy?
Okay.
It'll be based on brains, and you can throw in the fact that you're a janitor at a D8.
Yeah.
And if you've got any other attribute you think might be useful in spotting dirt, or being particularly perceptive.
But I am going to throw in a D4 negative of indifferent, because I don't really care.
Sure.
Yeah. Let's try and get points up.
have a plot point.
Oh, I didn't get
a nice roll.
Damn it. I was trying to give you points.
He's definitely beating. Okay. Now I did roll a 1. So you may take another plot point.
Sweet.
So you've got 2 plot points from that. So at any time, let's talk about plot points real quick. You can turn in a plot point to, and this is before or after you roll the dice. You don't have to do it. You don't have to declare it ahead of time, but you can turn in a plot point to roll an additional D6 if you want. You can spend a plot point to turn one of your dice to the next largest step. Let's say you've got a D6 in your pool. You can make it a D8 by spending a plot point. You may also spend a plot point to include this is actually something that I haven't explained very much here. So you just rolled 3 dice, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Your total actually isn't 14. Your total is 2 dice that you add together.
12.
Yeah, that's right. So what you can do is you can spend a plot point to add a third die or a fourth die or whatever you'd like to your total. Okay? Yes. So that's the other thing you can do with a plot point.
Okay. Well, Tom is still good. Tom is 12.
Oh, yeah, yeah, you're still,
so,
you're still
good. I would have, the thing is, I would have left it, no matter what you rolled, I would have left it at 12.
As a matter of fact, yes, there is one mirror that is dirtier than the rest. It actually has a fine kind of grime on it. I think it's almost like it's like a fine dust, almost a powder.
I indicate the mirror.
It's covering this one mirror.
To John? Graffy doesn't want that mirror. Needs a good cleaning.
I go, oh, wait, before you clean it. Walk up to it, stick my finger on it and feel it and feel what it feels like.
It's a very fine powder. It's almost like toner cartridge powder. You know how fine that stuff is? But it's not black. It's clear. That's why no one else noticed it at first. It's clear.
Yeah.
Griffin makes no move towards cleaning it.
Looks like something was here. Wonder what it could be. Is there like an analyzer on the phone or some type of gadget that we have?
Sure. Let's say there is. So it's got like a little port in the bottom that you can put a little sample of something on and then push it into the phone.
Sure.
Okay. All right. Give me a brains roll. And you can add a D6 in for the gadget and anything else that you think would help you analyze a specimen, if anything.
No, I don't have anything. Okay. How about just being a Ghost Be Gone?
Actually, you can add in a D8 because you are a fully trained member of Ghost Be Gone. Yeah. So.
Okay. Yeah. All right. 6, 8, and a 10. All right, let's try this. Alright. 6, 8, and a 10. Okay.
So you got a total of 11 from your two highest dice there, so it's more than enough. It's coming back as human skin.
Human skin?
Ew.
All of it from the same source.
Could he have been pulled through the mirror?
I step over and knock on the mirror.
Sounds pretty solid.
Seems pretty solid to me.
How about the mirror next to it?
I'll knock.
So you guys spend some time checking out all the mirrors on the walls. They're all pretty solid. If you want to, we'll even say you take some time and you pry a few off the walls. It's very solid wall beneath. You're not seeing really any secret passage, anything like that on the walls?
Interdimensional. Oh, hey! Maybe the mirror is possessed.
Does the mirror look any, like, weird in any way?
It looks exactly like the rest of the mirrors. It looks like it's all been, like, these aren't like antiques or anything. They look like they were all spec made at just a glass manufacturing plant, so they're all beveled, but there's nothing special about them. It's a pane of glass with a silver paint on the back to make it into a mirror. You know, nothing fancy, nothing special about it.
Okay, despite the covering of human skin, that reminds me of dinner that we just had, for some reason. I'm going to get the industrial cleaner and clean a bit of the mirror and see if that sparks a reaction.
Okay. as you kind of, the industrial cleaner actually makes short work of it, and you clean off the mirror to a spectacular shine. The cloth that you're using, though, is just filthy with all of this really fine powder.
Nothing else, we can give this back to the mirror if there was some.
Other than that, though, no real reaction.
Has anyone gotten on the bed? I'll look at the other two. Does it bend up like it's been used, or at least anyone been on it?
Yes, it does. I mean, it's not immaculately made. It looks like somebody laid down on it enough to ruffle it up a little bit. The pillows are a little bit askew. But it doesn't look like any left there. Like, you know, it just looks like someone laid.
Okay, yeah, right. Okay.
Does it look like it was a while ago or very, very, very recently?
How could you tell that?
I'm going to step away for a second. I'll be right back.
Okay. I'm gonna...
Is there a little dust? Is it, I mean...
Oh, the sheets are perfectly clean.
Mm-hmm. Hmm.
Crisp. They still smell freshly laundered.
So, probably very recently. Okay.
So, I'm going to lie down on the bed and adopt a 60 pose.
Okay. You lay down on the bed, and when you do, it starts a gentle vibration. Very comfortable, actually. Very relaxing. And you're staring straight up into the ceiling, which also has more mirrors,
mm-hmm.
and a disco ball that is refracting the light around a bit.
Mm-hmm.
Nice. Very relaxing.
Yeah.
Yes. Very relaxing.
It's actually mildly disturbing.
But you are not seeing anything else out of the ordinary. You're looking at yourself in the multiple mirrors on the ceiling.
That's all right. I don't mind. I'll just take you for a while.
Yeah. So, anything else, Sharon? What are you doing?
Just taking an inventory. Is there, like, anything, we found the wallet and everything. Is there anything else in the room?
No. You see, you know, a complete set of gentleman's clothing from socks, shoes, pants, shirt, t-shirt, watch, wallet, you know, everything you would expect, for a full, ensemble, but no one else's. Like, so if he had a partner in here, there's no indication of that. There, you know, you don't see like an unopen thing or an open thing of wine or anything like that either. It doesn't appear like there was anyone else in the room.
Does this room have a mini bar?
No, it does not.
Oh, okay.
Great. Pretty much the only thing in the room is the bed.
Is there a phone or anything like that?
You're thinking about it. And, you know, you're looking around, you don't see anything, but, your hand kind of lays, kind of moves around the bed and you come up with like a remote control. You notice that it's, speed controls for the bed. It actually even has rotation. But you also notice that there's a service button.
All right. I'm
going
to
put
the service button.
Yeah, where does that go?
Okay. You actually hear, through somewhere in the room, there must be speakers hidden. You hear, front desk, how may we help you, room A8?
I wonder if anything's been ordered here recently, in the past 2 hours, 2 hours ago.
Oh, yes, you are the guests here. Madame told us to give you every bit of cooperation. It looks like a full steak, surf and turf dinner had been ordered, but not delivered to the room.
Why was the surf and turf not delivered?
The voice gets a little quieter as if he's trying to not speak so loud that other people overhear. And he says, the guest in room A8 had disappeared before it was delivered, ma'am. No point in delivering to an empty room.
And when was that?
That was 6:45. So that was pretty much about 30 minutes before you were called.
Yeah, and Crafty wonders who heard those screams and who came. Check.
I will send those attendants up to you directly to the room. Anything else we can do for you, sir?
Oh, can't let that sandwich go to waste. Better deliver that as well.
Yes, sir. We'll have it warmed and sent directly up. All right, so 10 minutes later, at your door, a very fit-looking man and woman show up, both wearing the French maid suits. They look to be, you know, late teens, probably not into their 20s yet. The man is very classical GQ look, you know, chiseled chin, perfectly coiffed hair. The woman is just matching every way. Well, he is dark-haired, she is light-haired. Between them, they are carrying a silver plattered cart that has the surf and turf, the beef and seafood lobster on it. And they come into the room, and the woman speaks and says, Madame said that we were to give you every courtesy and answer any of your questions. We were to be the occupants' companions for the evening, and we both heard the screaming as we were coming up to the room.
The screaming.
Yes. The man says, yes. I believe he was saying something like, oh, please don't take me. Don't take me, please.
Well, Greffy's enjoying the fine dining.
Cut into the steak in the lobster.
Yeah. Crack the lobster.
Yep. Oh, gosh. What did I miss? I hear seafood.
Not a lot. They have sent up the occupants that were supposed to be the companion of this man's for the night, and the meal that he ordered that wasn't delivered because he went missing before it was delivered, which now Graffy is eating. Because, you know, he has to make sure, you know.
Yeah.
Can't need to go to waste.
It's poisonous.
So, yes, the male says, yes, he was saying, oh, no, please don't take me. Please don't take me. No. Yes. Those were the exact words, sir.
Did you hear any other voices?
The woman speaks and says, well, we heard some clattering around, he was maybe trying to defend himself. The door wouldn't open. We had the key, but it was stuck. It was like it was locked. And when we finally got it open, he was gone. The man takes out a handkerchief and he hands it over to you and says, this was the only thing in the room.
John?
Yeah?
Grab that, please.
Sure. I grab the hanky.
Okay. In the hanky is a ornate. It's odd. It's like a piece of stonework, maybe marble. And then you realize what you have in your hand is a stone phallus, a modest 3 or 4 inches long. That doesn't belong to any statuary to be found in the manse. So this is an oddity in the room. We thought you might be interested.
I've seen goats with bigger.
That's the other side. Room B4, if you would like to indulge in that, sir.
No. Not me.
And what's the scan say about it?
Yeah, what does the scan say?
You've already operated once today, so you need not make another roll. It is coming back as being human tissue, although calcified as if it was fossilized.
So somebody lost to Johnson. I'm going to turn to Graffy and Karen and go, anybody?
Excellent steak, by the way. Mm-hmm. Medium rare, and the lobster was perfect.
Was it hot or cold? I mean,
they warmed it up before they sent it back up, of course.
Oh, my. Okay.
It probably started off as rare, but having to warm it up, medium.
So basically you're saying it's a very good hotel.
Oh, yeah. Let's mention.
Was the phallus the same cells as were on the mirror?
Okay. You run a comparison. Yes. Same subject.
Wonder if we can get any cells from the clothing in the bathroom. Can I walk in there and try?
Maybe from the shower curtain.
Hey, there'll be plenty on the clothes.
Yeah, you can get enough skin cells off. He's got a comb in one of his back pockets. You're able to get some skin cells off that. So all the samples match.
Is this like a modern hotel that has card keys?
No, this is actually a very old building. This looks like it was a plantation-era building that has been upgraded, of course, but it has these large brass locks on the doors. They're all key, old-style key lock.
Like the old skeleton keys?
Yes. Yes, exactly.
Yeah, no, I know what you're talking about. Shoot.
All right, I'm going to whip out the phone again and do a search query on this history of the house.
Oh, very
history
good.
Of the mansion.
Give me a brains roll. Do you have any kind of ability with researching? You didn't pick the researching, so that wasn't you.
No, picked the researching. Can I assist?
You can assist, yes.
Okay, what do
you
I
need not
roll
anything? What you would roll to assist is this. First of all, what is your brains?
D8.
Okay, what is your brains, Chris?
D10.
Okay, she doesn't really help anything with that, but her talent does, so you can add a D6 to your roll and add a D8 for Ghost Beyond employee. You guys have been told, taught the rudiments of being able to research places.
Okay. All right, here we go. 16.
Okay. So 14 total, you take 2 of the dice. When it matters how well you succeed, you would take 2 dice to make the total, and then you pick a third die type as being, basically how well you did. So like in your case, you take, if you wanted to, you could take the 2 7s to make your score of 14, and then your effect die would be a D6. In this case, it doesn't really matter. This is just a strict yes or no. Mm-hmm. So actually, yes, you still make it 14 versus a 10. You are able to pull up the history of this. This was a plantation house. It was actually owned by a very fire and brimstone Baptist minister back in the day. He used this house for his ministry. There was a large scandal involving his flock. They were all found dead here. There was a fire that did not spread to the main part of the mansion, but did burn out basically the rear storage area. Firefighters were able to come in time to put it out, but all of his parishioners were dead, and the minister was not to be found. They're not quite sure cause of death of the parishioners was not in the newspaper file. You may have to pursue that in other avenues. But there you go. That was the history, and it has been up for sale for the last 20 years before it was recently bought.
What is the minister's name? Or does it matter?
Johansson.
And who recently bought it?
Looks like actually it was bought by a consortium. Lily's. Hold on just a second. Yes, it's Lily's Entertainments purchased the house about 4 months ago.
All right, I'm going to go to the realtor or the Zillow app and see how much they paid for the house.
Okay, and actually, find out when the problem started.
You can't find what the actual price was. That's that's between the seller and the buyer, but you can see what it was listed for. So it had come down over the many years that it had been unsold. And it looks like the last price for it was $550,000. It had started well over $1 million, but in the course of the years that it had gone unsold, it came down quite a bit.
And when did any weird stuff start happening?
There's no weird stuff.
About 2 hours ago. About it.
Yeah, I know. Actually, let's see. If you succeed in a roll five or more above the difficulty, that's a special success, just so you know. Just checking that. So you're getting just the stuff that hit the main papers over, the last decade or so over the house is what you've got from there.
Can we find some background on Lily's entertainment?
Yeah, that's easy enough. Your cell phones have basic web search capabilities. Looks like they have just their franchise. They're to be found in many cities. They just opened up in Seattle last month, and they just actually opened up for business last week. They are a private club. One must join for membership. It doesn't exactly tell a lot of what what entertainments are available at Lily's, but it is a private club.
I'm not really sure about the topic of the game of it with this question, but I'm going to ask it anyway. What ethnicity was the mayor's son?
WASP, white Anglo-Saxon Protestant.
You talk about the ministers and people being taken away and stuff. I'm wondering. The other Graffy wonders if he didn't quite measure up.
I wonder if this was the preacher's room and the entertainment involved in here kind of pissed him off. So how do we get a ghost to reappear?
Well, that's easy enough.
So basically you should probably look at the history, going back a bit, history of the building.
Well, we know it was involved with a preacher and his cult and the fire. A little bit of a scandal.
That's pretty much all you can find out about its history, is that the preacher had built it. It was his home. His parishioners stayed. He had their meetings here, and there was a fire. Didn't consume the whole building, just a partial part of the back. But that's pretty much the history, and it's just been on the market since his death, or disappearance, actually. About 7 years after he disappeared, presumed dead after 7 years, property went up for sale, as the surviving members of the family wanted nothing to do with it. They were just trying to sell it.
Okay.
Surviving members of the family were not his immediate family. He was not married. He did not have children. But he was himself the third son of a family that had disowned him at some point. But were his kin, so his property would have reverted to them. They didn't want anything to do with it, and he's just been trying to sell it in the last for the last 20 years.
We can try to revoke the ghost if you want.
Yeah, why not?
I look at the two servants. Slap. If you wouldn't mind putting on a bit of an display.
They kind of look at each other saying, what did you have in mind? The woman produces a menu and hands it to you.
just started with the basics. It'll be fine for now.
She says the guest's favorite was number 5 on the list there.
Unless you think he got to that by himself. Just something simple that right now should do.
Okay! Yes, they go about performing certain actions. Are you just going to stay in the room?
Yeah.
I'm going to pull out the meter and walk around the outskirts of it.
Okay.
Trying not to watch.
PKE readings have dropped a bit. Since you checked last, they're back to like normal ambient levels now. Their display doesn't seem to be arousing any particular ghostly, audience.
Okay. No, change in temperature, no nothing, it's just there. Right.
Well, that all depends on how your character reacts to what's going on in the room. The actual meter says no change.
Okay, so I'm standing in the room. Can I feel a change in temperature or anything?
Not at all.
There's nothing here. Let's go somewhere elsewhere.
And you can imagine that the other, 24 some odd rooms that you saw down the two corridors, much the same, may already be going on while you're here and you don't hear any other screaming or anything else going on. Well, no screaming that anyone seems particularly interested in.
Looks like Ghost is gone. Our job here is done.
Yeah, but aren't we supposed to get the patron back?
Yeah, you were asked to find him, or at least find out where he went.
Somewhere else. what's on the other side of the wall where the mirror was? Is that another room, or is that on the outside? Or?
These all are... they're edge rooms, so like there's nothing past that other than air. Like, so this is the walls.
Hmm.
Apparently, when the place was remade, all the windows were taken out, and walls were all put in. So there are no windows in the room, but these would be normally exterior walls. So what you have here is like, so you've got the stairs down there, and then you've got corridor going off that way, corridor going off this way, and these are all lined with rooms on both sides, like this. And the outside wall of the house would be like that. So there might be some filler space in between here, but pretty much these rooms are all going to be, it's going to be, house is shaped like this.
Alright, so we're taking outside. Something we're going to make Mama sit with that. Perhaps he was taken out through the wall.
Maybe. Karen, can you do more research on the what happened? What could be happening? If there's a connection between the mayor and the cult member or the scandal or something. I'm having a hell of a time trying to find crap on this thing.
If you want to try that, that's fine, but that's definitely not stuff that you would find in just like the public record. So that's going to require you to hack into some things, maybe police records, stuff like that. You're definitely not going to find that sort of thing just on the internet.
Ah, damn.
I'm not saying you can't try to hack into something, but you got to tell me where you're trying to hack, and someone should be good at hacking to do that.
Yeah, I know I'm not good at hacking that. Give me a car, I could hack that up. Give me the internet, forget it.
What I want to actually look at is the the family, the owners, and any sort of link going back about 100 years.
Link to what?
If there's any connection between the two.
That's well, like Ancestry.com.
Yeah.
Okay, well, so the house isn't that old. The house was actually built by Minister Johansson. And so he built it for him and his parishioners. The owner was his family that it reverted to because he had no family of his own. And it was immediately put up for sale. So there's no history on the house past that.
But I still want to look for any links between the... Shoot.
Basically, is there some deal between the Johansson and the mayor that would want to take it out, the mayor's son, is what we're sharing trying to get to.
Alright, so like, how would you look for that? I mean, you can find some things in the newspaper which might be hearsay or might have made the newspaper, but that's kind of stuff that you're not going to just find on the internet.
It's going to be police records.
Okay, you want to... Okay, again, you don't have access to police records, so you'll have to hack into that.
Okay.
So you can try it, and you can try anything. It's going to be a brains roll. I will even allow you to take your D6 as being a secretary, knowing like how things might have been filed.
I took research as a specialty.
Sure, you can take research as well, but you're hacking a system, so I'm going to ask you to throw a D4 in there as well.
Okay, so that's D4, 1D4 to 1D8 and 1D6?
Yes. Oh, wow.
Oh, wow.
Okay, oh, you roll 2-1. So that means, okay, I get these into my pool here.
You're going to be captured by the police now and taken away for a very long time.
Yeah, I am, aren't I?
Yep. So a 3 definitely does not make the difficulty of 6. So, yeah, your phone gives you a warning that your IP location is being traced.
I will turn my phone off immediately.
You definitely got caught hacking. Okay. Turn your phone off.
I'm seriously turning my phone off immediately.
Could one of us redeem a plot point?
Can I?
For that?
Yeah, can I throw a plot point in there to, like, reroll?
You can't reroll with a plot point. But what you could do is spend a plot point to... Okay, so... let me think what you could possibly do here. You can... there's so many ones... As in, you can't add the ones in. So you can roll, you can spend a plot point to add additional D6s to what you've already rolled, but that's the best you can do.
Okay, now I'm going to
do one at a time. So you can spend one, roll a D6, and if you're satisfied, you can stop. If not, you can spend another one and roll another D6. So you can do them one at a time.
Okay, I'm going to spend a plot point and roll one additional D6 so that it would be.
How many plot points do we start with, if any?
You start with one.
Okay. I don't know that.
Can't use the ones you just earned from these rolls. So, I mean, you just earned 2 more, Sharon, but you can't use them on the same roll that you earned them on. So you do have one. You do have one to spend. So go ahead and roll a D6. 2. So that gives you a 5 total versus a difficulty of a 6.
No, that gives me a 7, doesn't it?
No, you don't count the ones. You never count the ones in. The ones go to me when you roll them, so they don't count for anything.
Okay.
So that's a 5. It's still lower than the 6 difficulty. But that
can
would go ahead.
Keep me from can keep yes. me out of yes. federal pen.
Yes, yes. That's just a failure in this case. You don't get caught, but you don't find what you're looking for. We'll say that's good enough. And then you've earned 2 plot points. So just make a note somewhere that you've got 2 more plot points. Okay. Now, what that did for me is it added 2 more dice to my pool that I roll against you guys. So now, whenever you're looking for a difficulty, I roll all these dice against you.
Yep.
Or the ones that I choose to, anyway. Yep.
Scrappy wonders if we can get on the outside of the building and see if there's anything there.
All right, so you're going to go outside and look around?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, the first thing you notice is the front of the house has all been remanufactured. It all looks really nice. They use a lot of the original materials to make it look like a plantation house, which is apparently what Johansson was going for as well when he made his. But you notice the back area of the house, there's still parts of it under construction, there's like plastic, construction, plastic up just to keep it out of the elements, like they haven't finished, working on. From the information that John Jones pulled out, you figure that's probably where the fire was.
Mm-hmm. Makes sense. And whereabouts is the room?
Whereabouts is the what?
Room.
Okay, so if you're looking out, so let's say you're outside, and you're outside of the building here, okay? And so you look up, it's second floor, so, you know, you see about where his room would be. So that's like a 20-foot drop down, and of course, you don't see, there's no window out here. I mean, you don't even see the impression where there used to be a window.
Hmm.
So where's that in relation to the fire?
So the fire is in the back area of the house, way back here.
Okay, so his room is near the front then.
His room is like towards the middle of the house.
Okay.
The other thing you can tell outside, Graffy, is that you guys were on the second floor. It looks like there is a third floor.
Mm-hmm.
It's got the big peaked roof, so it couldn't be much more than, you know, not bigger than a crawl space, but not like full-size ceiling, so you'd have to stoop a little bit to be up there. But it looks like there is a third floor, and there are windows up there.
God damn it.
The anti-basements always get you.
Alright.
I guess.
Yep.
Alright, Graffy, let's go find it.
Yep. We're going to the attic.
Okay, you gotta poke around for a bit. Do you ask anyone, or you just kind of poke around and see if you can find the way up?
I'm gonna ask.
If they're going up to the attic, I'm just gonna cover the rear.
Okay. I'm sorry, did you say you did ask someone, or are you just gonna poke around?
Yeah, short woman. What's her name? Let's find her.
Lily. Yeah.
Oh, that's Lily, is it? Okay.
Yeah. She tells you, it's mostly storage. We won a bunch of the old accoutrements to the house and the auction as well. I haven't gotten around to using them. She goes to the, about the rear here and reaches up and pulls down a set of, drop stairs.
Mm-hmm.
Electricity ain't working up there. She hunts down a few flashlights for you if you need them.
Cool.
Yeah. Pull out the phone, start doing the PKEs.
Okay.
Karen, are you with us or not?
She was going to cover our butts.
Yeah,
so.
But does that mean she's going to do it?
Does she go up or does she stay down?
Yeah.
I'm heading up, okay. But a little ways behind him.
Alright.
Okay. So you guys are up in there. There's just barely enough room for you guys to stand up in, although the ceiling, towards the edges, the ceiling, it's like a, it's a peaked roof like that, right? Mm-hmm. So on the corners, you can't stand up, but in the middle, you can.
Right.
And there's a bunch of furniture here that's covered over with sheets. Lots of crates, lots of old books. Most of them look to be religious texts. That sort of thing. Now, so you said you pulled out the PKE meter and turned it on, right?
Yes.
All right. Really high readings coming on in this room. Like really high.
We are surprised.
Just out of curiosity, religious texts, but what denominations?
Mostly Christian texts, but like, what would you call them? They have a name for it. Texts that were stricken out of the Bible.
The forbidden ones and stuff.
Apocrypha. Yeah, Apocrypha.
Apocrypha. Okay, cool.
Okay. So you're walking around and you're definitely finding that there the readings are stronger in one corner than the other, and you're kind of trying to narrow it down to see where the strongest readings are come from. Sharon, yes. You say you've gone up, but you're kind of taking in the rear, right? Is what you said?
Yeah.
That leaves Graffy, you're kind of in the middle there.
Sure.
So John Jones, you come to a sheet that's covering something. It's in a far corner here, right there where I drew that little circle. There is a sheet covering something in the middle of the room, and your meetings are just going really high. It's like a class 5.
Oh, Graffy, we got something here.
Mm-hmm.
Walk up to it and just yank the sheet right off.
There's an old-fashioned mirror here. It's oval. It's full length. It's like 5 feet from top to bottom. Very ornate scrollwork wood that surrounds it, and it's on a pivoting stand, so like it pivots at the middle. The odd thing about the mirror, though, is that it's jet black. Like there's a glass there. There's a mirrored surface, but instead of it being like silver mirrored, it's completely black. It doesn't reflect your image normally either. Like, you know, you're looking at yourself in the image, and it looks like the image is further back into the mirror than a normal mirror would appear, and it's really hard to tell. It's like it's really indistinct.
I'm gonna take the edge of the phone and like tap it like if I was trying to tap a piece of glass.
Your cell phone just like little static burst and smoke comes out of it.
So I jump back and go, oh shit. The heck?
Does anything happen to the mirror?
No.
She likes giving a bit of a squirt there, little lady.
Pull out the super soaker and go for it.
Yep.
You're going to soak down the mirror?
Yeah. I don't see any downside to making it a wet mirror.
All right. So you soak it down with your holy water, and nothing happens at first, like it's just water hitting the mirror. But then as you kind of look at each other, you notice that Miss Nichols, that there's a little bit of steam coming out of her mouth as she's talking. And you're all noticing that it's getting really cold in here. The surface of the mirror actually starts to develop frost around the edges.
Mm-hmm. Hmm. This ain't good.
No, it's not.
Graffy might be waiting for you back in the car. I haven't left, but it's not
safe. So, I'm going to break the mirror.
How do you break the mirror?
Let's see. Just knock it over and kick it and break it.
All right, you go up to it, and you go to knock it over, and you go to kick it, and what you guys all see is that her foot goes through the mirror, and so does she. It's just like she just walked through a doorway.
Yes, can I come back?
So what happens with Karen is you go to kick it, and then it's like you step into a darkened room. Like you look in front of you, and it's pitch black. I mean, there's definitely a surface below your feet, and when you turn around to look, you can see the guys out there, but they're really indistinct, like they're in shadow, like you barely enough light to just make out that they're standing there.
Can I get back to them?
Okay, well, hold on a second. while you're in here, and you can't make out anything. You feel like you're in a room of sorts, and you know there's definitely a floor below you, but you can't see anything. But you start to hear chanting in the background. And it's really, really cold in here.
Can I make out what the chanting is?
Okay, let's say you're just kind of inclining your head a bit and trying to figure out what it is that you're hearing. So we're going to pause with you for a minute. So what are you doing, guys? Crackles just disappeared into the mirror.
Graffy, stick your mop through the mirror.
Graffy's got a better idea. Grab sheet, start making a sheet rope.
Okay.
And this is actually a rope here. They just say you rope, I don't know. Otherwise, sheet rope.
Sure. Yeah, I'll help him.
Yeah, you get a whole bunch of sheets and you knot it together. What do you do?
Tie one end around my waist and walk in.
Okay. I'll hold the other one.
You smack the very hard, cold mirror.
So, prod the mirror. It's just plain mirror at this point.
Except it's very cold. Otherwise, yeah, it just seems to be a normal mirror. It's black and it's cold.
And I just disappeared in the middle.
Yep. You can kind of see her in there, very indistinctly, but you can kind of see her in there. It looks like she's got her head cocked, like she's listening to something.
Is there frost on the mirror or anything, did you say?
Yeah, there's frost all over the edges of the mirror.
Okay, I'm going to clean it off.
All right, it's very cold to the touch. You start cleaning it. As soon as you wipe off an area, it just kind of rhymes back with frost again afterwards.
Industrial cleaner.
You get it sparkling clean, and then it frosts over.
Okay. Obviously, we're taking time.
Meanwhile, inside. Give me a brains roll.
Yep.
And you can go ahead and throw in the D8 for being a Ghost Be Gone agent. So brains plus the D8. Give me a roll there. I'm going to choose to roll 3 of my D6 this time, since I've got 3 of them in the pool here.
Wow, that is a really piss-poor brains roll.
Ooh.
Yeah, so I can choose any 2 of those. I'll choose the 2 4s, which is going to be higher than your 7. So you can't recognize it, although you have the suspicion that it's probably Latin.
Okay. Great.
I would suggest something, but you're on the other side of a mirror, so I can't.
So you're let's keep going with you, Sharon. So you listen there for a bit. You can't make it out, although you're fairly sure after watching lots of horror movies and going to church a few times that it's Latin that you're hearing, but you don't know Latin, so you can't make out what the words are.
So I'm just sitting there and yeah. But it's the same room, right?
Well, on the other side of the mirror, it's the same room. You can't really tell what it is on your side because it's too dark.
Oh. Can I see anything that would give me more light?
You got your cell phone on you.
Yep. Okay.
Got a flashlight as well. Flip.
Yep. Oh, yeah, they did give you flashlights, so, well, yeah, you can say you're carrying one of the flashlights, that's fine.
Okay, so I'm just going to take a look around, and you come back to me after you deal with those guys.
They're taking longer than you, so we're just going to go with you turn your flashlight on. The beam seems strangely subdued, although it does light up a little bit. It just doesn't seem to go further than just a couple of feet away from the flashlight itself. You're still in the attic. You know, you're just beyond where the mirror is. You know, you're still in the attic room, although it looks very different. On this side, there's not all the furniture that's covered over. And you can see like a trap door a little bit further back from where you are.
Okay. How used does the trap door look?
Actually, everything up here looks like it's brand new. It looks like freshly carved. I mean, you can even smell the wood. You know, it's like the wood smells like it hasn't been that long since it's been cut and formed.
Okay, then I'm going to go investigate that trapdoor.
Okay. I pull open the lid of the trapdoor. You shine your light down. Again, your light doesn't go but a few feet, but you do see a ladder going down, and the chanting gets louder.
All right, I'm going to... Ooh, I'm going to climb down the trapdoor, the ladder, and
try to find the source of the chanting.
Okay. You guys can see on the other side of the mirror that she seems to be walking away from you all.
Okay.
Her light actually does light up a little bit of you, so you can see her a little bit more clearly. And you see her walking past, and you see her flipping open a trap door. Actually, you guys can also see that it looks like the room that she's in is the same attic that you're in now.
Okay, and where does the trap door correspond to on our side?
Well, you walk over to that area. You got to move a chest out of the way. It looks like this is some new wood that's been laid down here. So it looks like someone repaired an area of the floor. So there's no trap door here now, but it looks like maybe there was.
And what would be the room right beneath us? Mayhap
A8? Actually, no.
Okay.
This would actually be further out than the rooms are. So, like, if you were to draw a straight line down from here, it wouldn't correspond to the corridor at all. So, like, if we're going to the map here that I've kind of drawn, this would end here. And so it would drop down somewhere here that the hallways don't go into.
Okay. That's where the fire was. Dun, dun, dun.
Yep.
John Jones, give me a hand moving this mirror.
Absolutely.
Then we're going to carry the mirror and try and follow Sharon as best we can.
Okay. So she disappears below the floor here where you've got this new piece of wood. And then you lose sight of her as she closes the trap door above her.
Try and rip open the floor.
Well, okay. There is a floor beneath us, right?
Yes.
We take the mirror down to where the floor beneath us is, and then we can try and see on the other side.
Let me see if I can explain this a little better here. So the hallway ends here, right? So where this trapdoor would go down would be somewhere within a wall.
So it's like a room that's been
walled off.
Okay.
There's no obvious entrance.
All right. I'll let John Jones have at it then.
Yep. Try and pull up the floor.
Okay. All right. Give me a muscle roll.
My muscle.
Look around, you can find like some crowbars and hammers to help you out. But that doesn't add anything to your pool. That's just what you're using. Do you have anything that might help you out with bashing this open?
Unless the industrial cleaner eats through the wood.
Not industrial.
Not really. Just the muscles, I guess. Well, I mean, being a NASCAR mechanic, I mean, you got some feats of strength.
I take that.
So another D6.
Eight, or D6 for the NASCAR mechanic.
Yeah. And that would just be like that. So it'd just be two D6s.
Is that what your muscle is?
Yeah.
Oh. Should have said something.
Right. Oh, dear. Well, I'm going to take that D6. Actually, I'm going to take that D6, and instead of keeping it as a D6, I'm going to roll up this D6, and this is now going to be a D8.
So you are bent in half, and the wood does not move.
No, what's going on is you're making a lot of noise, and it's taking a while. You're making enough noise that Lily comes up to see what's going on, and she says, "I thought I asked you boys to be a little bit more circumspect with what you're doing. Everyone's asking what's going on up here.
You got another
draw any attention?
Graffy wants to know if you got another way into that locked up room down there.
Room?
Yeah.
She doesn't appear to have any idea what you're talking about. Hold on just a second. Chris, take another plot point. I rolled a one, so you get a plot point for that.
Okay.
She apparently has no idea what you're talking about.
Well, it's either this or we go through the wall.
She says, well, they still left some tools out in the construction building out back. Let me go see what we can round up for you.
Okay. At this point, Sharon is on a sacrificial altar, a dagger about to stab into her heart.
Something like that.
All right, Sharon, so you climb down the attic stairs, and you're actually in a room. It's a fairly large room. You see there's some kind of pattern on the floor, but you can't really make it out because your flashlight only goes so far. But you feel like you're not alone in the room, and the chanting is very loud in here. And in Latin. Go ahead.
I just want to find out, where the chanting is coming from.
All right. You turn your flashlight and you walk a few steps and you almost step on, it's a person that is, wearing black robes and kind of kneeling down. Arms are folded into the robes, head is down so you can't see the face, but the chanting, and you kind of look and, ooh, you're standing in the middle of what looks to be about 12 people that are all chanting in Latin here. And you're kind of standing in the middle of the room. The Latin changes for a moment, and you hear a clear male voice calls out that, "We prepare for you the sacrifice of the unholy, a fornicator, a thief, and a liar." And
the person that's in front of me, I'm going to just kick him in the face.
Okay. Sure. We can do that. Give me a muscle roll. If you've got anything that would make you a scrappy fighter, you could take your Ghost Be Gone employee. You guys have had a little bit of hand-to-hand training.
So that would be, what, 2d8?
Is that what your muscle is, a d8?
A d8, yes. Hello?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Okay, so it's 1d8 or 2d8 or d8 and d what?
Well, 2d8. Ghost Be God employee is a d8, and then if your muscle's a d8.
Okay.
All right.
Shoot. Clear.
The clear button doesn't work. The clear button doesn't work. You just have to set it to 0 for the ones that you are not trying to roll.
So it's just R2. Okay, this is ridiculous.
Yep. No, you got it. You got the 2d8, and then you just hit the d20 button, and you rolled. Okay, so you rolled a 6 and a 2 for a total of an 8.
Okay.
And I'm going to choose 7 and a 5 out of my roll here. So is this going to beat yours? So you go to kick this guy, and... he reaches out and he stops your foot just right before it makes contact with his face. You see the hands are, the surface of the hands, like he's got third degree burns on his hands, and he turns to look at you, and it's this face that's just like half melted in heat, and the other part is like charred black, and he opens his mouth, which is mostly skeletal. Let's make you have a cool roll here.
Okay, then.
So it's your cool plus a d8 for being Ghost Be Gone, because, you know, being a Ghost Be Gone employee, you've seen some shit, so.
And you can probably throw in standoffish too.
A 9.
All
right, a 9. Ooh, I rolled a bunch of 1 for this one. Okay, take 2 plot points. Or alternately, you can have me get rid of dice in my doom pool. So you can have me drop some of my D6s to a D4s, or you can have me drop my D8 down to a D6, or even down to a D4 if you want to use both of them. Up to you. So you've got either 2 plot points, or you can cause me to reduce some of my dice.
I beat you by 3 points, so I think that I'm just going to...
Typically, no, you beat him by 5, because he has to drop the 1.
Okay, then I'm just going to take the plot points.
Okay, take 2 plot points then.
Cool.
Okay, no, you keep your cool, and you wrench your foot back from it. What do you do? You notice that they have definitely noticed that you're in the room now, as you can feel, even though your light only extends a few feet, you can feel the movement in the room as several figures are starting to stand up. Chanting is continuing, though.
No, I'm going to...
yell something. I don't even know what I'm going to yell, but it's going to be something to just disrupt the chanting.
Okay, you're trying to yell louder than they are for the chanting to drown out the chanting.
Okay.
Start singing the Macarena. all right, other side.
Yeah, something like that.
You have broken through the floorboards, and you see that, in fact, there is a hole here that there's an old ladder, old metal rungs attached to the wall and to the head down.
Okay, go down.
Yeah, head down. Have a flashlight on and go down.
Okay. You guys come into a room that has, the floor has an inlay in it. It looks like it's iron, and it makes a pentagram that is surrounded by a circle in the floor. And in the middle of the pentagram, there is a skeletal body. It's wearing, its clothing is wearing like, it's like a black cloak that's mostly disintegrated. It's clutching a book between its arms. And there you go.
Pick up the book. Open it up.
Oh, you opened the book!
Oh, I gotta see what it is.
All right. Cool. Plus, you can add your dice in for being a Ghostbuster. Anything else that would mean that you have like a really strong will? Anything that you can think of that would allow you to do that?
Ghost be gone employee.
You can definitely add that.
All right, so it's cool, which is a D6. Ghost be gone employee, which is a D8. And I think that's it.
All right, give her a roll.
Well, could be worse.
See how that
six.
Goes.
Could be worse.
All right, 6. I rolled a 1, 6, 7, 8. It's still going to beat you. You get a plot point, though, or you can reduce one of my die out. Up to you.
Reducing his die pool is quite a good idea.
Yeah. I do have a D8 in there that's causing you guys some problems, so you can reduce that out.
Yeah, I will reduce that.
Alright, we'll reduce that out to a 6. Alright, unfortunately, you fail. Not too badly, though, given that I rolled a 1 in there. So you feel something intruding your mind. You start having impressions of, young boy being cruelly treated by his parents, telling you that you're ungodly, that you're sinful, and times where you're being locked in your room to read the Bible over and over and over again until you can recite it from heart. And so you're having these flashback memories of somebody. You feel like it's trying to override your own identity. So what you see, Graffy, is that he's picked up this book and he's just kind of gone still as he's holding the book and his eyes are kind of glazed over.
Yep.
So, Graffy, what are you doing?
Two different options come to mind at the moment. The simplest one is smash the body.
All right, is that what you go with?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, it doesn't take a lot to smash up a bunch of bones. They've been here long enough. They're pretty fragile. You start stomping on the bones. It doesn't seem to make a lot of difference here.
Okay.
All right, so while you're doing that, Chris, give me the same roll again. You need, so every time that you fail, it gets harder for you to resist.
Okay, can I use a plot point to redeem for a D6?
Mm-hmm.
But would that also let you increase your die roll again?
No. No, you can spend a plot point to add a D6 to your pool. That's just what you can do, and it doesn't do anything on my end. I don't get anything from it.
Okay, I will do that.
Okay, now you can do it before or after the roll, so you don't have to say that you're wasting it yet. You can just roll and see.
Okay, let me roll then, and we'll see what happens.
All right, so you've got an 8. Their best is 5. I've got a 9, so...
I'll
spend one.
Well, that's what I should have done. I want too late.
Okay, so if you spend one, the minimum you're going to do is meet it, which means you still succeed. So yeah, if you spend your plot point, then you're able to fight it off, and you're able to drop the book if you want. Otherwise, you're kind of you remember who you are. You're gaining control of yourself. So first of all, spend the plot point. You don't have to roll the die though. It's fine.
Okay.
Because your minimum roll is enough to equal, and equaling goes to the PC.
Okay. I do that then.
Okay. Yeah, so what do? Do you drop the book? Do you hang on to it? You come back to yourself, but you can still feel it trying to get a hold of you.
I close the book and throw it on the ground.
Okay, Graffy's stomping on the bones.
Look at Graffy and go, are you done? Are you going to clean that up?
Graffy ain't here for no cleaning job.
Alright, let's flip over to the mirror universe while that's going on. Sharon, you're yelling out loud, trying to drown out the Latin chanting, and it seems to help you a little bit. I mean, you're feeling a little bit calmer, but there are a lot of voices still continuing on, and something is approaching you. You're holding your flashlight out, and a form that's dressed in the same kind of cowl holding a book is approaching you, and he's got his hands out, and he says, "Ah, look, another sinner approaches." As he's walking towards you, he's holding a crucifix in one hand. He's got this book in another. You see his hands are charred black. You can see bone sticking out from between them. What do you do?
If he gets within range of me, I'm just going to smack him.
Okay. All right. Yeah, he does. Yeah, go ahead. Give me a roll. This is going to be muscle, and you can throw in your being a Ghost Beyond employee.
Okay. Let's see if that works.
Of nine. All right. He's very adept at dodging you, but I didn't beat you by. Well, you know what? I can do that. I'm going to throw away one of my die. That's a D4 doesn't really help me to include an extra die. So that means I have a 15 to your 9. I beat you by more than 5. So he reverses it, and so he ducks your blow, and you get smacked across the face with like a backhand. You now have a D6 wound. You don't need to keep track of that. I use it against you. The way you take someone out is that wound gets stepped up. So if he does more damage to you, it'll go up from a D6, D8, etc. Once it gets past a D12, you're taken out. So he just backhanded you with this crispy, crinkly flesh as it hits you. You can smell the char. You can feel the skin kind of rupture as it hits your face. But it's a very devastating blow as you get knocked to your feet.
Right. Can I hit him again?
You want to go at it again?
Well, I don't think I have much of a choice. I could try to retreat up the stairs, but...
Or other things, that's fine. If you want to try to go keep going toe-to-toe with him, you certainly can do that.
I'm going to try one more shot, and then if it doesn't work, then I'm going to retreat.
Go for it.
Okay.
Same roll as before.
Yep.
Remember, you've got a couple of plot points, so you can always spend a plot point to add an additional D6, but you can choose after you roll.
Okay, I'm going to actually add the D6.
You want to wait till you roll, or do you want to go ahead and add it now? Either one is fine.
I'm going to add it right now.
Okay.
Okay, I'm going to... So, it's the... I'm going to have to type it in, so it's, 2d
plus 1d6.
Okay. Everything is absolutely not working for me right now.
Mm-hmm. Get slash roll and then 2d8 plus 1d6.
There's no way.
You have a decimal there. Try that again. Flash roll 2d8 plus 1d6. You put a decimal after the 8. That's why it's messed up.
Oh, okay.
It's not working. Oh, there it goes. Oh, that's bad.
That's really bad.
Oh, that's bad. That is so bad.
Oh. Right.
So, my total is a 9. Your total is a 3. And you rolled 2 ones. I rolled a 1, too. But still, your total is a 3. Alright, so here's what's going to happen. So, if you can roll another d6 now if you want and spend your last plot point.
I'm going to do that.
Just roll another single d6 then. Slash roll 1d6. Okay, so your total is going to be a 5.
I still lose, but not quite
but
that
not,
badly.
But not as bad, right. So he's going to do another... so he's going to step up your damage. So you're going to get hit again. It's going to go from a d6 to a d8 on your side. You are going to gain a plot point, though. So you got one more plot point. And I'm going to step up two of my dice from d6s to d8s.
I'm dead.
So let's go back to the other side. Okay, guys, what are you doing? You were stomping on the bones there, Graffy. Mm-hmm. John Jones, you've just reclaimed yourself. You've tossed the book aside.
Oh, I wish we had that super soaker water. Ah.
You still have it. You didn't use it all.
No. Karen's got it.
Karen has.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, you're right.
Burn the book.
Burn the book. Burn it.
Burn the book. Does the industrial cleaner help for accelerant?
Yes, as a matter of fact, it does.
Okay.
All right. You spray it all over the book, and you light the book on fire. Yep. So share it on the other side.
I'm going to
He's
start
coming
up the,
again. Oh, sorry, go ahead.
I was going to start up the leaf blower and blow on it, so it's really
blow it out.
No, it won't.
Oh,
blow it
no,
out.
With that industrial strength cleaner, you're fanning the flames. Okay. Sure. The book is just igniting on fire. Sharon, on your side, the dark preacher is coming at you. He's raising this tome over his head like he's going to do a finishing blow, just by carving your head in with it. And the book, though, just bursts into flame. And it catches on his robes, and he starts screaming, and he starts running around as his body is catching fire. What do you do?
Can I go back up the ladder?
Yes.
I want to go back up the ladder, and if I can get through it, back through to the other side.
you go to climb up the ladder, and actually, go ahead and make me a brains roll.
Yeah.
And anything else that you think might allow you to notice something.
Yeah. I know what it is.
Does research count?
Research won't count, but you can have a D6 for your flashlight.
Oh, maybe Ghost Beyond, because, job related.
Yeah, sure.
I'm trying to help you.
Oh, this is ridiculous.
So yeah. You have your brains, a D6 for the flashlight, and a D8 for the Ghost Beyond.
Yeah.
Oh, come on.
You can do it.
You make it.
14.
Oh, nice. Actually, you just picked two of the highest, so it's going to be an 11. Still better than my 5. So you notice your flashlight just happens to, as you grab the ladder and you start to climb, your flashlight happens to light on the fact that the mirror is actually in this room. And you can kind of see your friends holding, they've got a leaf blower going, and he's blowing on this book that's on fire. So you can see your exit right here.
Okay, then I'm going to take it.
Okay, it wasn't what I thought it was. All right.
And so you're able to push yourself through, and you come out on the real side again. You're incredibly cold. Passing through that mirror, it was just like going through the Arctic for a brief moment. You push yourself through. Behind you, the dark priest is in flame, and he's not giving up. He's coming. He's still coming towards you. And as you come out, you pop out of the mirror. The rest of you guys are still working on burning the book, and a burning hand comes out of the mirror, grasping at Karen. And it grabs the edges of the frame of the mirror and starts pulling its skeletal self out. It's still wreathed in fire. And you can hear it screaming out, "Fornicators, perversions!" As it pulls itself out.
Super soaker, super soaker.
Super soaker, super soaker. Totally super soaker.
All right, who has the super soaker?
I have the super soaker.
Okay. Go ahead and give me a moves roll, because moves is shooting or aiming things. Plus a D6 for the super soaker, D8 for the ghost begone employee, and if you've got any other kind of talent that's good at shooting things, that can help.
Nope. It's got the super soaker.
Well, the super soaker itself is a D6.
Alright, so he rolled a 1, but you got a total of 8, 10, 11, 12. Its best, though, is... I'm going to spend one of mine, though.
Okay.
So we're going to spend out one of mine, so I'm going to include the other one. So 16 is my total. And I'm going to take your 1, and I'm going to step up one of my D8s to a D10. Okay, put this over here. So you're soaking it down, and the fire is still blazing on it. So it's not affecting the fire, but it doesn't look like it's affecting the creature either. And it finishes pulling itself out into the room. And it's just this hideous black cowled figure. It's actually more of a skeleton at this point. And it's just wreathed in fire. It comes out into the room. Lily, by the way, sees what's going on, and she sticks another cigar in her mouth and lights it. She looks like she is a little put off, but she's not. She's made of stern stuff, so I've seen it all. All right, what do you guys do?
Any sign of the mere sun in there? That's what
you're asking, Karen.
Yeah, that's what I thought you were going to give her the look for. That's why I reckon he was in there.
What was the question?
Any sign of the mere sun, you know, the chap we're supposed to find.
You heard the dark minister say that he had a sacrifice, so maybe there was someone in there.
Maybe.
Okay.
I don't know.
Graphic's gonna have to go get him. I'm gonna try and duck past the figure and jump into the mirror.
Yeah, make me a moves roll. Indeed. You can add, anytime you're working with Supernatural, you can add in Ghost Be Gone or anything else that would make you...
I'm not a Ghost Be Gone.
Oh, you're not? Yeah, the janitor won't help this.
Yeah.
Anything else that would give you any kind of ability to dodge or maneuver nimbly?
Obviously, I've got Mop Fu, but it's not... I'm using my Mop to help move around. So.
Yeah, sure, you can trip him or something to help you get away.
It's a D6. Indifferent. Will that count against us? I don't really care.
It's up to you. You can throw it in as a D4 if you think it would.
Sure, why not? It's always fun to try and get more plot points. I've got a couple, but I can spend them afterwards.
So 5 total. So you're trying to get through him, so he's going to roll. An 11.
Yep. Ooh, that's quite a bit.
Yep.
Let me do that. Those, I'm going to blow an extra... Or even if I blow an extra D6, I'm not going to be able to get through.
Well, you're only missing him by 4. You only have to exceed him. Oh, that's right. You've only got a 5. Yeah. So you'd have to blow... You'd have to blow multiples to get past him.
Yeah. I mean, I've got multiples I can blow. I'm just not sure. Sure.
Up to you. You can spend them one at a time so that you don't have to blow up all at once.
Well, no, I'm still going to have to do at least 2, though. Well, actually, no, I just need to meet him. I can just meet him, which is going to be right hard. Nope. So I'll have to blow another one.
So that's 9.
There we go.
That'll do it. Okay, so, you use your mop to kind of get yourself in between him. You didn't do so well that you're going to put him in a disadvantage, but you do get through the mirror.
Yeah.
You do. You just sucked right through the mirror. And seeing as you're in the same place, so you go through and you can hear the Latin chanting now yourself going on. Do you have a light source?
Flashlight.
Same thing. It only extends a few feet. You can see there are a lot of figures in here kind of kneeling down and chanting.
I'm
going to start searching around.
Yeah, basically. So, yeah. Over to these guys to the finger.
We'll get back with you. Yeah. Otherwise, you've got a burning dark priest in the room going after everybody. What are the rest of you guys doing?
Going to smack him with the flashlight.
Okay. Chris, what are you doing?
Just fanning the book, trying to burn that sucker out.
Burn it fast. Okay, let's do yours first. Right, so how are you going about trying to... So you're using the leaf blower, so we'll add that in. It's a D6.
Oh, yeah.
Probably brains would be the thing to figure out how to get it to burn faster.
Right.
And maybe even being a mechanic, you'll know how to use combustible material. I'll
absolutely
allow that.
So that's just a D6?
D6 for the talent. Yep.
Okay. Sounds good. All right. Let's give this a shot.
So an 11.
11.
Okay. They got a 16. See, this is the problem. As my pool gets larger,
yeah,
it gets much harder for you guys to do things. So you didn't succeed in getting it to burn faster, but it's still burning. But it's just not burning any faster. Meanwhile, Karen's going to clock it with a
flashlight. Do you want to spend any points of your plot? You don't have
that's
to.
True.
You don't have to
spend plot points.
You don't have to. There's no question. This option.
Might be worth it, though.
To reduce your die? Or?
No, you would have to be
dead. No, it adds a D6. Yep, so you'd roll another D6 and add it to what you've already got.
Yeah.
You've got an 11 right now to my 16.
I'll give it a shot.
You see a 5 or 6? There you go. Here's a 5.
There you go. Got a 5.
Oh, nice.
Yes. Okay. So, you're able to use a little bit more accelerant and you get it to start burning faster. So the figure in the room, there's a sudden increase in the flame that surround it. And it's really bursting in fire now, but it seems like arctic cold, to you, Karen. You're standing next to it. But it's very cold versus hot, even though it's completely on fire. And you want to clock it with your flashlight.
Yep.
All right, give me a second here. What is your best? What did you roll? 55, okay. Go ahead, Garen.
So it's a 2d8, clocking it with a flashlight, and... Here we go.
Is the flashlight itself a D-something?
D6.
Pardon?
Yeah, flashlight to fix as well.
That's the thing with the system, you need to remember to put it as much as you can from any source.
So you got an 11. That's pretty good.
Not terrible.
You got a 12, though.
Can I throw in... I've got plot points.
If you just now? If you just spend the one, you can add that to 4, and then you win.
Yeah, if you want to spend the plot point, you can just add the extra 4 in, you win, and that's going to step up the damage to him. He's almost on the brink. He's up to a D10 of damage on him now.
I'm just going to add an extra plot point.
Yeah. So what you're doing, you spend the plot point, and you're getting to add that third die that you rolled, and so that beats him, so that's good.
Mag lights are awesome.
Yes, yes it is. Meanwhile, inside, be observant. Find the guy.
Yeah, that's going to be tricky. Okay, so that's one for the flashlight, one for brains.
Being a janitor, you know where people are and where they're going to make a mess?
I would hesitate.
Do you know where the center of it is?
But that's not going to be anything in particular. Can I put in moves for moving around quickly?
yeah, sure.
Okay.
Well, you only get to add one attribute.
Oh,
so
right,
if your moves is better than your brains,
yes,
you can check your moves.
I'll
so you're either thinking about where you're looking or you're moving fast.
I'm moving fast. always, throw in a different, because it's always good to get me another plot point and chance for another one. Oh, the D4 to roll.
Okay, go ahead and roll the separate. That's fine. nice.
No, that's a D34. Oh, it's still the same. Oh. So it's only 8.
So you got an 8.
Yep.
Okay. But you got a 10. Got any plot points left?
Yeah. I got a few. So I'll just add to get the extra 3 in, and then Nick gives me 11, and I win.
Yep. You find him. He is in the middle of the floor. He's not looking too good. He's like, the top layer of his skin looks like it's been abraded off. He is grasping his groin for some reason.
I was wondering about that. Gruffy hauls, Gruffy takes him out through the mirror as much as I can. But, it's my turn.
Oh, yeah, perfect. Yes, yeah. Very good for you. You do that. And back in the room, what are you guys doing? It's still coming forward. The book is burning mightily. There's very little of it left. And so is the dark creature as well. Like, he's losing parts of himself. He's like, one of his legs is disintegrated, so he's just kind of pulling himself over by the one leg, clutching parts of the wall to keep himself going. Karen, since you're still, been a detriment to him, he's still coming after you. So what do you guys do?
Bash, bash, bashy, bash.
All right, you're going to keep bashing at him. Chris, what is John Jones doing? You're
going to keep up with the fire? Keep up with the fire.
All right. Okay, so it's really not more that you can do with the fire, but you're doing continuous damage to him, so that'll continue on this round. And then Karen, go ahead, smack him upside the head. You got your dice, Karen, or Sharon.
Right.
Can you all hear me?
Yeah,
I can hear you.
Okay.
2d8 and a d6 again.
Yeah, okay. Oops. 2d8 and d6, and roll 15.
13. 13.
Which isn't bad.
But they got a 9!
Woo!
So here's what happens. Yeah, between the damage that John Jones is doing by burning the book, and you just clocked him again here, that's going to put him up over a d12. And since you did succeed on your last action there, Jameis, Grappy drops out of the window just as the prophet takes a slug from the side of the flashlight, which pretty much caves in the side of his really crispy skull at this point. And the fire just consumes him as the mirror shatters just as Grappy jumps out, holding the mayor's son.
Always cleaning up people's messes as Grappy.
Maglights are awesome.
Lily blows out a smoke ring as she looks at everybody and says, "Well, you don't see that every day.
Just Tuesdays."
All right. So there we go, guys. Wrap up is the mayor's son needs to be put into a hospital, a nice discreet hospital.
That's right. I'm sure my employers know exactly how to treat people with no skin.
For a length of time and goes beyond, somehow manages to wrangle that city contract from the mayor's office that they've been fighting for a while. Who knows how that happened?
Thank you for being a gold card member.
Yes. Yes, Lily gives you a free night pass.
We are discreet.
Oh, there we go. Another Ghost Be Gone scenario successfully completed.
Yeah. Finally managed to get the sun back.
You did manage to get the sun back. I'm impressed.
Barely, because I was surprised. I thought Sharon was going to think of that. That's what I thought they were looking for around 4-1-4.
Spot. Well, Sharon was looking to get out.
She may have spotted the guy anyway.
Yeah, true enough.
So I was like, oh, you're going to spot the guy and go, oh, I need to grab him. You didn't. Bugger, I'm going to have to.
Yeah. So what's going on with the pool over here is if any of my die actually got to be above a D12, that's in time. That means that the enemy has got what it's needed, and he's completed his goal, which was inevitably to sacrifice all the fornicators in this house.
Yeah, it was close.
Yeah, it was close.
It was either destroy the body, burn the book, or ruin the pentagram.
Yep. I would have accepted any of those.
Yeah.
Fine. Well, the book was doing direct damage to it.
Yeah.
So that was a good idea to burn the book. And clock it with the flashlight was actually oddly effective.
Mm-hmm. As long as it worked.
Yep.
Yeah. That was fun.
Yeah.
So a lot of it, you guys did just fine. A lot of it could have been done legwork. You would have found out that along with the sale of the house, a lot of the original furnishing was also purchased, and you could have asked about that, found the mirror sooner, but although you did fine by just talking as you did.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. So there we go. Yeah, we had a holy roller that got into some esoteric books that allowed him to transcend death, and then suddenly he's got a whole bunch of perverts in his house that he didn't like. Trying to get rid of. Yeah, it was good.
The churches might have been able to help with a new penis as well, because I know a few bit about human body.
The one scene that I cut out, if you guys had visited some of the other rooms, there would have been he would have taken an interest in you. And I had one scene where the room that you went into had a bunch of adult toys that would have suddenly animated. And you know the horror shows where like all the kitchenry and all the cutlery knives start coming at. Yeah. So instead of the adult toys coming at you.
I'm glad we didn't go in that room.
Well, I hope you enjoyed it.
Oh, yeah.
Finally got a game in after a while.
Yeah,
I did. It was fun. Yeah, it's nice playing again.
Yeah, yeah. We gotta get some more games in. I know Richard is going through some things. He's not gonna be back in a while. I have no idea what happened to Steven. I have not heard from him. I haven't seen him online. Hope he's alright.
Yeah. Oh, hopefully. Are you having a problem with the Blue Magic forums?
Yes, the forums will be down until I find a new hosting provider or I set up my own server. They refuse to upgrade the version of PHP, which the forum needs to run. And and if I don't upgrade it, the forum is like, I've been getting all kinds of spam stuff through there. And since it's linked to my emails, I was getting all kinds of stuff through my email. So I updated the forums, and it broke because it needed a newer version of PHP, which they won't give me.
Really stupid.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah, especially since it is a security risk on their side as well. But to get a newer version of PHP, I have to increase what I'm paying them for a new version.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
Okay. Because I managed to get a laptop. There's a company called PCM.
Yeah.
I managed to get a laptop for $78.
Nice.
Wow.
Yeah, they have some seriously cheap ass hardware. So if it's a hardware thing, you might want to look at them because it's really they have a cheap hardware.
It's not really that. I mean, I've got enough parts to build my own server, and running a forum is not going to impact my bandwidth at all. So I could run my own forum from my side. It's more of how to punch through my firewall so that you guys can access it. I
think we're gonna have to use I've been having my own firewall issues. I ended up working an 80-hour week last week because we got breached.
Ooh.
Yeah, you're in a very growing list of people. We've got Anthem, like the number two healthcare industry in the US got breached, and then we got the credit agency that got breached.
I'm just looking at the amount of stuff I had to do last week, and I'm like, are you kidding me? No human could do this in a week.
Wow.
But that's why the forums are down. Is like my hosting provider are dicks, and the only way around it is to pay them more or to set up my own server. I just haven't worked out which one I want to do.
All right, it's time for a mesh.
It's time for a mesh network. We set up our own private network.
That's a pirate box. But I don't think we can get a pirate box network to go all the way to New Zealand. And
actually, you can.
Well, it's possible, but...
It's like anything's possible.
You know what? That actually sounds like a project for me that would be a lot more fun than I work for work.
You just gotta get enough people in enough cities across the U.S. to link into a pirate box system, and then to get somebody in the different zones where it hops from backbone to have it, we could do it. That's only gonna take a few hundred thousand people, I think.
No, not even a few hundred thousand, just a few hundred.
Yeah. If they're in the right places, sure. Yeah. But anyway, it was fun, guys. And hopefully we can get some more games in the books.
Yeah.
All right, well, have a good one. That was our Halloween adventure for the year.
Woo! And I'm going to take that on as a project to work on that pirate box because...
nice. All right, guys, have a good one.
All right. You as well. Good night, guys.
Music in this podcast was created by Kevin MacLeod. More great music can be found at his website at incompetech.com. If you enjoy the show, we would love to hear from you. You can find links to our public forums, the software that we use, and other information at our homepage at bluemagic.com. That's BLUMAGIK. Reviews on iTunes, recommends at rpgpodcasts.com, and email to steamsteelmurder@gmail.com are also appreciated. Thank you for listening.